So we're now up to a new Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel, Mizahamin et Hanitiot. So we're talking about things that are only Osir Midrabanan or are toldais, because they're Osir Midrabanan, are specific activities. We were Mechalik yesterday, very important differences between someone who's being Matzil, as if he's being Matzil, and not Dleika. So that is totally mutter, even during Shviyas. Someone who's being ukume ilani, so that there's a difference, we said, even if it's not an emergency and it's if something is burning down, but still, it would be avruye ilani, and that is making it, it's able to be kumi ilani, which is protecting it from something bad. It's not that it's going to be totally destroyed, versus ivruye ilani, which is you actually make it stronger and allow it to grow better. So we really have three dargas. So we had a big machlokas about what things are mutter even in the middle of Shviyas, what things are mutter up until 30 days, what things are mutter only until the Shir of Atzeret, if we're going according to the Prokim HaRishenim. And we ended up with three different shitas yesterday in that, so that we had the Chachamim, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Shimon. So today, we continue on with other things that we haven't spoken about yet, which are activities that are similar to issues that we do, and they're there in order to provide either protection or actually fixing. So mizahamin et hanetiot. So mizahamin et hanetiot is a machlokes rishonim. Some learn that it means in the event that you've lost some of the bark or you have a cut in a nitiya, so then you do something to that. What do? You put on, you've seen very often, even today, they put on some sickening smelling tar or something like that. They used to put on some dung, but anyway, that actually saves it from infection or infestation by parasites. And similar, mizamin has nothing to do with fixing a break. It has to do with putting on, this is how the Rambam understands, putting on something that smells dung, tar, or something like that, which discourages worms or other insects from infecting it. Okay, v'korachim, so again, big machlokas over here, what exactly does korachim mean? So korachim, one pshat is, you wrap it in order to protect it from overexposure to the sun, or getting too cold. And the Rambam explains that it means you tie, like we often see in palm trees that people do. The tops are tied in order that they should grow up instead of just falling down to the side. You see this very often when you drive by farms that are orchards that are all palm. That's how the Rambam understands the vekorchim. Kotmim, now remember, kotmim has also two very different ways of understanding. Because what is, when it comes to sukkahs, what do we call lulav that is niktam rosha, where it was broken off, right? So some learn that's what it means. Kotmim is you take off the tips of these branches, and that encourages the growth of leaves further down on the branch. And others learn it comes from the word kitamim, which is in Aramaic, dirt, right? Kitma. So kitma, not dirt, I mean ash, I should say, right? So it means ashes. And that would be an application of ashes as opposed to the ma'afkim, which is with the dirt around the roots. The osim lahem batim, and that means what we often see. You put up not only a fence around them to protect animals to come. That could be a batim. Others learn it's batim. You surround them with an actual fence that's made out of reeds, let's say. And that protects them also from overexposure to cold or overexposure to winds, to high winds. Okay, whatever the batim are. And you can also mashkim. You can water them. Now, we'll see what type of watering we're talking about. As the Rambam explains, we don't mean going to the roots and watering the roots. We do a different type of watering, which means you pour water over the top of the tree, and the water keeps going down along the trunk, and then it, so to speak, waters the tree. And it's not working the ground because you're not focusing directly on the ground. So all of those things you can do, according to the Tanakhama, until Rosh Hashanah specifically, and since they're only Usr Midrabanan, so because of that, you can do them all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. Reb Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok Omer, why only till Rosh Hashanah? You can do Ashkaya of the Nov during Shviyas if you're pouring water only over the top of the tree. That's not called working the ground. And that just gets water down to the roots ultimately. You can't directly water the Ikar during Shviyas, I agree. But during Shviyas, if you do this in this very big Shinui, remember that a Shinui on something that they're only the Rabbanan Asrid is mutter even during Shviyas itself. So this introduces a new concept of Avedas Karka that was Osim in Rabbanan and is mutter to be done with a Shinui. Now, there's something else that's very nogea, and this would be, suppose you have figs that are not yet ripe. Now, you can hurry up the ripening of a fig. How can you do that? You cover them with oil, olive oil, and you make holes in them that allow the oil to penetrate. That softens the figs and makes it ripen more rapidly. Now, the question over here is, you can do that up till Rosh Hashanah if the fruit is going to be ready by Rosh Hashanah. So that's okay. By the way, you should know that according to the agricultural books anyway, again, I wish I knew about it myself, but this is something that is very much part of modern agriculture, apparently. I don't know if they use olive oil, but they definitely do hurry it up by putting things on the fig. And, okay, it's a whole scientific explanation how it works. It's not, unfortunately, our business right now. But what about if these figs, even if you do this, are not going to be ready before Shviyas? They are going to be ready during Shviyas. Now then, you've got Pagei Erev Shviyas Shenichnasu LaShviyas. No matter what you do, the maturation, usability will be during Shviyas. Then you cannot do it because that is considered to be done for Shviyas. The same thing is true if these are figs that were growing during Shviyas and now it's Mitzray Shviyas. You can't even during the eighth year, you would not be allowed to be Sachin Velo Menakvim. Whoa. So in other words, we are now introducing a new halacha that there is for some reason something that is Peres Shviyas. It's usur to be Metapel in Peres Shviyas even during Shminis. That's what it seems to be saying over here. Now, this is a new Kiddush that we didn't see before. And this is the way that the Rosh explains it. And it's brought indeed by the Achronim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends whether you are in a location that uses this as a normal commercial application for how to deal with slowly maturing figs. If you live in a place where that is considered to be what to be done for figs, so then makom shenagu lasuch ein sachin. I've pointed out to you many times that the English word fig is derived from the Hebrew word fag, and the fag is an immature fig, so that there's always a problem with figs in their slow development. And remember that figs are not normal fruits. Figs are a very strange nivra, which has hundreds or thousands of fruits. Each one of those little things is a fruit. The only way that they become actually fertilized is because a wasp fertilizes them, penetrates the fig, and then degenerates in the fig. So you're always eating wasps when you're eating figs, by definition. I mean, obviously, it's become part of one biological entity. But the idea of a fig is an absolutely unique kind of thing, which is why it's necessary to penetrate sometimes to be able to get the various little tiny separate fruits in the fig to mature. And so if this is a place where they do that as part of the commercial processing, you can't do it, because then it's viewed as an aveda, and you're not allowed to do aveda during Shvias. But makom shelo nagu l'asuch, where this is not viewed as a normal thing that you do for maturing figs, so over there, that's not considered to be aveda. It's just like, what the heck is this guy doing? So in the case of a fig that is only going to ripen in Shvias, where the Mishnah said before, it's usher, says Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily. It's only usher if people would see this as an aveda. But in a place where people don't see this as an aveda, it isn't even usher midrabbanan. Rabbi Shimon says, listen, you're always allowed to do aveda sa'ilan. So Rabbi Shimon matir bi'ilan bipneshu reshoi ba'avodat ha'ilan. So now let's say you've got a tree in the eighth year. So this means that they're talking about two different things over here. The idea of the working on the fruit itself, which was what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that would not apply if it's not considered to be a normal work, has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon was talking about the eighth year, and Rabbi Yehuda was talking about the sixth year in Shvias. Okay, because we had two cases, remember, in the Mishnah. There's Pagei Shishis that are only going to mature in Shvias, and then the Pagei Shvias that are only going to mature in Shminis. We answered both of them. Rabbi Shimon talks about, what about the eighth year stuff? So Rabbi Shimon says, I don't see, if it's in the eighth year, even though you're right, the fruit is considered to be fruit of Shvias, and therefore whatever the dinim are, but the tree is bichlal not considered to be a Shvias work if it's the Shminis. The moment that Shvias is over, you can do the work on the tree, even if it's going to benefit fruit on the tree. You can't work on the fruit because the fruit has kedusha Shvias, but the tree should not be usher at all. So you can do things that are useful for the fruits of the tree. Everybody agrees you can work the tree. That's for sure. You can work the tree if it has something to do with fruit. You got a tree, you have to do the pruning or whatever. Of course you do that during Shminas. But here we're talking about a tree that has fruit on it, and you're going to be doing things that is going to enhance those fruit to the tree. That's okay. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Very important nekuda. Okay, so let's start at the beginning, says the Gemara. We started off with mezahamin et anetiyot. You put on either dung or tar or whatever. You can do this until Rosh Hashanah. Why only until Rosh Hashanah? What is this? All you're doing is saving the tree, so you ought to be able to do it during Shvias as well. Didn't we say that if you're being matzil the tree, then that you could do during Shvias after Rosh Hashanah? Now that means that our Mishnah is actually against the Shita of the Rabbim, because the Mishnah is going like Rebbe's personal Shita. But according to the Rabbanan who argue, you can do this during Shemitah itself. Mizamim, matli'im. Matli means to remove the worms. This means you can even remove them by going through it and picking them off one by one. You can't do this during Chol HaMoed. Why not? Because remember, even though the Mishnah in Moed Katan talks about the similarity between work that you're doing during Chol HaMoed and work that you're doing during Shemitah, they are fundamentally different, because during Chol HaMoed, what we're looking at is tircha. All malacha is asur if it is any kind of tircha during the Moed. Okay, so during Chol HaMoed, you can't do this. What, are you going to sit there picking out worms? But as far as the Shvias is concerned, how much tircha is irrelevant? And therefore, you could do this to protect the tree. That's a completely different issue. You can't do things that are going to make the tree grow better, but you can certainly do anything where it's being attacked by a fire, by a parasite. You can stop that from happening. Kan v'kan, but both Chol HaMoed and during Shvias, you cannot do gizum, so you can't cut off now branches where you've got a lot of different branches, that gizum, that always is there because that brings out new growth. And that is considered to be more than ukumi. It is stimulating the tree. So it's iruya iloni. But you could, even during kolamoi, if you actually see a worm that's boring into a tree, you can pull that worm out. All we said was you can't go and look through the whole tree and work on it and so on. But whatever you see directly without going to a tircha, of course, you're allowed to do something. That's a hefset. That's one of the dinim of cholamoy too. All right, so you tell me that according to the Rabbanan, even during Shemitah, you are allowed to save the tree with this putting on of dung or tar and so on. So Rabbi Yossi, Omar, that, you know, I heard a question from Rabbi Avuna. I don't understand why we would allow you to put on this smelly stuff, and we don't allow you, according to the Chachamim, to build a bayit for it, right? We said that this you're allowing, but to make the fence around it or the cover around it, that you can only do up until Rosh Hashanah. Why? They're both the same. They're not improving the tree. So they're just simply allowing it to retain its life that it has now. So why do they only say Mizablim? It should be exactly the same. Answers the Gemara, because when you put the smelly stuff on the tree, it's like you hired somebody to stand in front of the tree with a gun and to protect the tree from anybody that's going to be attacking it, right? But that is entirely just saving the tree from harm. Masha Enkin, when you actually build this bayit around it, it has a lot of effects that are botanical directly. It's not just that it prevents a hurricane from blowing down the tree. It also changes the amount of sunlight that is going to be coming into the tree. It is going to make it the type of cell that encourages growth, because if there's too much sun there, the tree's not going to put out leaves to be burned by the sun and so on. These trees are pretty intelligent. So over here, it's not only a shomer, right? But it also is an actual encourager. Tamanta nina. And later on, we're going to see in the Mishnah that if you are cutting up an olive tree during Shavuos, it was very common to lop off these thick branches that doesn't damage the olive tree, grows right back. And they would use this for wood in the fireplace, in the oven. So over there, what they would usually do whenever we cut off a branch is we put stuff over the cut in order to protect it. Well, you're not allowed to cover it with mud, but you're allowed to cover it with avanim or with kash. That you can do. So Rabbi Yona said, what's the difference? That's what Rabbi Avuna asked. Rabbi Avuno asks, why is there a difference between kashim and ofar? Basically, they are both there only to protect the tree from attack or from losing its moisture. So why are they any different? Answers the Gemara, because, again, putting stones there or straw there, that is just to put a shomer there. But putting actual mud on it, that is not good. Why? Because that's osu latina vigdela machamato. The moment that the tree senses somewhere that there's mud, it starts putting out, rooting into that mud, branches into that mud, and therefore you are actually encouraging its growth. And we said before, there's a major difference between ukume ilana and iruye ilana. Tani, now, how do you do the proper hashkaya? So we talked about in our Mishnah the shinui that is involved during Shemitah by watering a tree from the top down instead of going directly to the roots. So Tani in the Brice, it says that Rabbi Yossi ben Kufa, Omar Mishum Rabbi Loza ben Shamua, that according to Beit Shammai, you do the hashkaya on the branches on top, and then you allow the water to flow down the tree, and of course, ultimately, it's going to get to the bottom. So it's yored alaika. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, you can be mashke Bein ala nof, bein ala ikar. So that means that our Mishnah, now if we're talking about kodem l'shvias, our Mishnah says there's no problem kodem l'shvias, so that would be going the way this is understood, according to Beis Hillel. But in Achinami, according to Beit Shammai, you would have to make a shinui. But what about during Shvias? During Shvias, we run into the issue of Mizalfin. Remember, when we did the Mishnayos, we were dayik that, according to some Rishonim, that is a very specific word. We're not talking about normal Hashkaya, so that we're doing it with a shinui, so that it looks like sprinkling rather than deep watering. So how exactly was that shinui achieved? So in the bias of Rabbi Yannai and his family, what they used to do is they would use a basket for the hashkaya. So in other words, they took a basket, a regular wicker basket, filled it up with water, and now that leaks water in all directions, right? So that's more like a sprinkling system. They would bring that around the tree. That spread the water all out, but it wasn't like a deep watering directly. So that's like sprinkling. Okay, so they use the basket as a sprinkler system. On Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi, I know that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Tavlai during Shvias, he did that. He actually would use a basket as a sprinkler. On Rabbi Chia bar Ba, Rabbi Yudin bar Guria not only did that, he was mashke with this basket, and then he would use his hoe on that area to allow the water to penetrate around the roots. And so, okay, there's many different ways of learning the next piece. Probably the most reasonable way to learn it is the way that we say, that he used to say, V'chimit kaveina ni l'avedas ha'aretz. I'm not interested in avedas ha'aretz. I'm only trying to get the water down to the roots. Okay, others learn that it's akasha. Isn't this the equivalent of doing avodat ha'aretz? So then, why wouldn't it be usher? And then the teretz would be that this would be similar to the idea that I'm trying to just make sure that the roots are not damaged. So it's the same as putting on the avak over the roots. Okay, number of different approaches. Now, during the time of Rabbi Chia bar Ba, which of course is Rabbi Chia bar Abba, in our pronouncing the olive approach, have a mashkin diklaya beknish tacharata vecharvata. So they would actually water their dikalim, their palm trees, and they would use the palm tree produce itself to be the equivalent of a sprinkler system. So they would take a broom of course they used to make out of the open lulavim, and then you whisk it, or they would use a charvata, which is just actually a raw lulav. They wouldn't actually put it together with at the bottom to make it a broom. It would just sort of be, you know, like you would take your open schach and you would use it to sort of whisk your porch with, you know. So they use that. They put water, and then they would spread the water around by using a broom. Sakinat hapagim, the next case that we have, that had to do with the figs. How do you get figs that are immature to ripen quickly? And so we set three different dinim, right? If these figs are going to be mature before Rosh Hashanah, you can keep doing whatever you need to do, putting the oil on them, making the little holes in them that allow the evaporating gas from the oil to penetrate. This is all the scientific explanation of it, and that those gases encourage the same thing that we do basically for putting an esrog together with a ripe apple, which if you put in the same container, so then the gases emitted by the apple actually change the rapidity of the maturation of the esrog. These are well-known agricultural processes. So it says, if they're going to be ripe by the time Rosh Hashanah comes around, then you can do this until Rosh Hashanah. If they're only going to ripen during Rosh Hashanah, then you cannot do it even before, because you're working on pairs of Shvias. If they're during Shvias and are going to ripen after Shvias, then even in the eighth year, you're not allowed to do it because they still have Kedusha Shvias. And then we had the Omach Locus about, can you do it to the tree? And so on. All right. So that was the piece that said, you're allowed to do this until Rosh Hashanah, but if they're only going to ripen during Rosh Hashanah, you can't even do it before So it seems to be saying that we've got these three completely different shiurim. But there is a way that we could learn the Mishnah that actually makes it a little bit more kuladik, which is that in this Mishnah, Natanina, Sachin et Apagin, and there was a Tana Devei Rebbe who says that there's actually, you should continue on with the definition. The Elohim Pagei Erev Shvi'es. Shenich Nesur L'Shvi'es. According to that approach, the words Pagei Erev Shvi'es, Shenich Nesur L'Shvi'es is not the beginning of a new Chumrah. But if they're Nich Nesur L'Shvi'es, you cannot. It's the explanation of the first part of the Mishnah. So what are we referring to over here when we said that you're allowed to? We're allowed to, even if they are going to be Nichmas L'Shvi'es, you're allowed to be sach them and make the holes in them until Rosh Hashanah. So then what you're doing according to this, even, what he's saying is that you can do even for Pagim that are not going to be ready in time for Shvi'es, you're still allowed to do it up until Rosh Hashanah. This is like a completely different approach to the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar, he learned that the way to read the Mishnah is the way that we've been reading it all along, namely that we have three different shiurim, and that this is a separate section, which is Pagei Shvi'es, that are going to be Nichlasim L'Shvi'es. But Rabbi Yochanan used to paskin it according to the Braisa that we just had, which was the Tana in Beis Rebbe. And no, the Mishnah is only talking about two things, and it includes the Nichlas L'Shvi'es, even L'Heter. So the way Rabbi Elazar is learning it, al daite de Rabbi Elazar. So when we get to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, remember, was arguing, and he was talking about the kula in places where it's not a commercial process, right? Makom, in a place where there's no normal commercial process of doing this oiling shtick, so then it's not viewed as a vayda. What was he referring to, according to Rabbi Lazar? He was coming to be makel, even in the case where we said that it's usher. But according to Rabbi Yochanan was learning like the Tana of Beis Rebbe, where over there were being matir, even the types of pagim that are only going to be ready during Shvi'es. So then when Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, well, when is that true? Only in a place. That would mean that he's being machmir, because Rabbi Yochanan is already matir it completely. So what's Rabbi Yochanan coming to say? Bamed dvarim amurim. So Rabbi Yochanan must be telling me a chumrah, that in places where everybody does this as a commercial process, then you can't do it if it's going to be nichmas l'shvi'es. So it's a completely different way of reading the entire Mishnah according to this. Okay, Rabbosai, that gives us Baruch Hashem. We finish on time, and that means that we start Bezrat Hashem with Halacha Dalet and the new Daf on Sunday morning. Bezrat Hashem, after witnessing Yeshua's Hashem Keheref Ayin and the Gilui of Ashiya Samecho Vorech Esnachal Asecha and the Gilui of Yad Hashem Magdela Le'enei Kol Aguim. Call to everyone, Besorot Tovot.